wife needed emergency surgery, and the bills added up to $160,000.
So we were seeing the bills coming in, and then the bills were being paid. Portions were being shared, and the end result of this is this bill was taken care of.
Yes, MediShare works, and it's so easy to get your questions answered too, so why not? You can call right now, 833-39-BIBLE. That's 833-39-BIBLE, 833-39-BIBLE.
Michael Rorden lost his wife Jennifer last year in that Southwest Airlines plane crash in Philadelphia. He joined ABC News to discuss how he wants to reach out to the folks who tried to save Jennifer's life.
I've received the names of the people that are sitting nearest to her, and I, not yet, but at some point I really need to reach out to them and just know that we're, as a family, we're just thankful for them being there with her.
Scientists are finally confirming what dark chocolate lovers knew for years. A sweet treat reduces stress and can improve your mood. Now, Dr. Jill Ashton talks about some of the benefits to dark chocolate and also some of the things we need to be concerned about.
If you look at the pros and cons, number one, you know, it does taste good. There are tons of antioxidants, anti-inflammatories, known mechanisms to benefit cardiovascular well-being. But the flip side, it is high in sugar, high in calories, not great for your teeth. There is caffeine in there. If you eat too much of it and you're sensitive to that, that could be a downside.
That audio courtesy of Good Morning America. This is USA Radio News.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help right now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Are drug and alcohol problems hitting you too close to home? Get help right now. Insurance may cover everything. 866-490-3991. 866-490-3991. That's 866-490-3991.
House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi defended her use of the term crumbs to defend the GOP tax cuts when she was confronted about her remark by a student yesterday at Georgetown University. Take a listen to how she explains what she meant when she said crumbs.
There are some benefits that some are feeling in a particular way with the tax bill. My statement was really a fuller statement that says while they provide a banquet for the top 1%, they're giving some crumbs to other people.
The student's name was Sam, and he was from Northern Virginia. He also said that both of his parents owned small businesses. Pelosi then used a rather interesting analogy to describe the GOP.
It's about people, human beings, all God's children. They go to church on Sunday, a lot of these people who are so anti. And I say to my colleagues, you pray in church on Sunday, and then you pray on people the rest of the week. What is this?
If NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell will have a meeting with a group of cheerleaders, the two former cheerleaders who recently filed a discrimination suit will settle those claims for $1 each. Bailey Davis is one of those cheerleaders. She explains why she filed the initial suit.
This was never about money for me. This is about having respect for our sport and standing up for the sport and standing up for women.
For USA Radio News, my name is Tim Berg.
St. Patrick, home sweet home.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. Hoo-ah! We're going to be talking about the new military strategy today. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thanks for joining us. Joining me at the 50 caliber microphone is co-host Air Force vet Josh Lang. What's up, Josh?
Just when you thought it was safe to go back in the air, this Air Force veteran decided to start his instrument rating training. So if you fly in the Annapolis area, you've been warned. All right, just kidding. But what wasn't funny this week was the engine that blew up during flight on a Southwest 737. We weren't surprised to learn that the steady hands behind the yoke and throttle belonged to none other than one of our nation's finest, Tammy Jo Schultz. Tammy is one of the Navy's first female fighter pilots and the first woman to fly an F-A-18. She served in the Navy for 10 years, reaching the rank of lieutenant commander, before separating in 1993. Commander Schultz, hell of a job you did. Salute.
Good to hear, Josh. Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby looks content. We'll hear from him as he shares warrant wisdom. And Marine Vet Skip Coriel is here looking very pleased with himself. Here's what we have for you today. A news and comment by the Colonel. I'm going to talk about our relationship with Turkey. It used to be pretty good. It's not now. Then General Arnold Panero has just returned from a symposium discussing our military's new strategy. You're going to find this very interesting. Then we're going to meet retired Lieutenant Colonel Alex Gallegos. We'll discuss his career and his run for Congress. Army Captain Roger Hill commanded Fox Company in combat. His whole company was treated poorly by our military, and he's written a book about it. And military ladies, attention! We're going to tell you about the upcoming Military Entrepreneur Women's Symposium held in May.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. I'd appreciate it if you would also go to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And, of course, join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
Troops, we welcome your input to this show. Send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or by Facebook. Now it's time for news and comment by the Colonel on Frontlines of Freedom. First, the news. Lead out, Josh.
R. Lee Ermey, a once active duty Marine who made a career in Hollywood playing hard-nosed military men like Gunnery Sergeant Hartman in Stanley Kubrick's Full Metal Jacket, has died from pneumonia-related complications. He was 74 years old. The Kansas native was nominated for a Golden Globe Award for his memorable performance in Full Metal Jacket, in which he immortalized lines such as,
"What is your major malfunction, numbnuts?"
Born Ronald Lee Ermey in 1944, he served 11 years in the Marine Corps and spent 14 months in Vietnam. His first film credit was as a helicopter pilot in France.
St. Patrick, home sweet home.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. Hoo-ah! We're going to be talking about the new military strategy today. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thanks for joining us. Joining me at the 50 caliber microphone is co-host Air Force vet Josh Lang. What's up, Josh?
Just when you thought it was safe to go back in the air, this Air Force veteran decided to start his instrument rating training. So if you fly in the Annapolis area, you've been warned. All right, just kidding. But what wasn't funny this week was the engine that blew up during flight on a Southwest 737. We weren't surprised to learn that the steady hands behind the yoke and throttle belong to none other than one of our nation's finest, Tammy Jo Schultz. Tammy is one of the Navy's first female fighter pilots and the first woman to fly an F-A-18. She served in the Navy for 10 years, reaching the rank of Lieutenant Commander, before separating in 1993. Commander Schultz, hell of a job you did. Salute.
Good to hear, Josh. Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby looks content. We'll hear from him as he shares warrant wisdom. And Marine Vet Skip Coriel is here looking very pleased with himself. Here's what we have for you today. A news and comment by the Colonel. I'm going to talk about our relationship with Turkey. It used to be pretty good. It's not now. Then General Arnold Panero has just returned from a symposium discussing our military's new strategy. You're going to find this very interesting. Then we're going to meet retired Lieutenant Colonel Alex Gallegos. We'll discuss his career and his run for Congress. Army Captain Roger Hill commanded Fox Company in combat. His whole company was treated poorly by our military, and he's written a book about it. And military ladies, attention! We're going to tell you about the upcoming Military Entrepreneur Women's Symposium held in May.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. I'd appreciate it if you would also go to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And, of course, join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
Troops, we welcome your input to this show. Send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or by Facebook. Now it's time for news and comment by the Colonel on Frontlines of Freedom. First, the news. Lead out, Josh.
R. Lee Ermey, a once active duty Marine who made a career in Hollywood playing hard-nosed military men like Gunnery Sergeant Hartman in Stanley Kubrick's Full Metal Jacket, has died from pneumonia-related complications. He was 74 years old. The Kansas native was nominated for a Golden Globe Award for his memorable performance in Full Metal Jacket, in which he immortalized lines such as,
"What is your major malfunction, numbnuts?"
Born Ronald Lee Ermey in 1944, he served 11 years in the Marine Corps and spent 14 months in Vietnam. His first film credit was as a helicopter pilot in Francis Ford Coppola's Apocalypse Now, which was quickly followed by a part as a drill instructor in The Boys in Company C. He raked in more than 60 credits in film and television across his long career in the industry, often playing authority figures in everything from Seven to the remake of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. What you may not know is the part he would become most well-known for in Full Metal Jacket wasn't even originally his. Ermey had been brought on as a technical consultant for the 1987 film, but he had his eyes on the role of the brutal gunnery sergeant and filmed his own audition tape of him yelling out insults while tennis balls flew at him. An impressed Stanley Kubrick gave him the role. Kubrick told Rolling Stone that 50% of Ermey's dialogue in the film was his own. Kubrick said, quote, "In the course of hiring the Marine recruits, we interviewed hundreds of guys. We lined them all up and did an improvisation of the first meeting with the drill instructor. They didn't know what he was going to say, and we could see how they reacted. Lee came up with, I don't know, 150 pages of insults." Ermey also hosted the History Channel series Mail Call and Lock and Load with R. Lee Ermey, and he was a board member for the National Rifle Association, as well as a spokesman for Glock. While Ermey's characters were often hard and principled, his friends say the real Ermey was a family man and a kind and gentle soul who supported the men and women who serve. Another military veteran and well-known media personality has died. Art Bell III was always interested in radio. At the age of 13, he became a licensed amateur radio operator. Art served in the Air Force as a medic during the Vietnam War, and in his free time operated a pirate radio station at Amarillo Air Force Base. He would make a point of playing anti-war music like Eve of Destruction and Fortunate Son that were not aired on the Armed Forces Network. After leaving military service, he remained in Asia, where he lived on the Japanese island of Okinawa. He worked as a disc jockey for KSBK, which was the only non-military English-language station in Japan. While there, he set a Guinness World Record by staying on the air for 116 hours and 15 minutes. The money he raised there allowed Bell to charter a Douglas DC-8, fly to Vietnam, and rescue 130 Vietnamese orphans stranded in Saigon at the war's end. They were eventually brought to the United States and adopted by American families. He was the founder and original host of the paranormal-themed radio program Coast to Coast AM, which continues in syndication on hundreds of radio stations in the U.S. and Canada. Army Chaplain Scott Squires has been to battles all over the world, but he's fighting his biggest one right here at home. For Squires, who spent 25 years in the Army, no one was more surprised than he was that the same military who hired him for his faith is now punishing him for exercising it. Turns out, some Obama-era administration habits are hard to break. Like a lot of chaplains, Scott watched the military change under the last administration. He saw morale tank. He heard the unbelievable stories of airmen, sailors, and Marines who were targeted for their faith. Squires found out this year, chaplains are not safe. The administration may have changed, but the intolerant attitudes of some have not. When he was transferred to Fort Bragg last year, Squires picked up where he'd left off at other bases with the Army's Strong Bonds program. For years, he'd been speaking at the event, trying to help soldiers develop healthier relationships in a stressful military life that's led to some of the highest divorce rates in the country. When a lesbian couple wanted to join the marriage retreat, Scott realized he couldn't, in good conscience, participate. So he did what Army regulations demanded. He found another chaplain to oversee it. Now, even though he followed Army policy, he could lose his job. To this couple, Scott's actions weren't an accommodation, they were discrimination. An official military investigation was launched, and Squires is being recommended for discipline. The investigation report reads, quote, "The Army Equal Opportunity Policy states that no service will be denied to any member of the armed service, regardless of race, color, national origin, gender, religious affiliation, or sexual orientation. C.H. Squires should be reprimanded for his failure to include, name redacted, in the initial Strong Bonds retreat," end quote. When asked how he was taking the news, Squires said he was shocked. After all, his attorneys point out, he was following the Army's own policy. He couldn't lead the session, so he found someone who could. If anything, this should be a lesson in the art of compromise. His solution accomplished the perfect balance of accommodating his faith and serving these women. Even so, he points out, quote, "The investigator concluded that I should be reprimanded for doing something I'm required to do under Army regulations and my endorser's rules. I hope the Army sees that I was simply following Army regulations and the tenets of my church," end quote.
And that's the news. Folks, you know I'm a decorated combat veteran, and during my time in combat in Vietnam, I led and encouraged my troops to kill the enemy, because that's why we were there. But over the past about 9 years, some of our troops have been jailed for doing that. That's why I'm proud to have United American Patriots as a show sponsor. We need to free those prisoners. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Coming up on Frontlines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the Colonel, and we'll enjoy some warrant wisdom. Then we'll talk about our nation's new military strategy with General Arnold Pinero. At ease, troops, take a break.
For America's wounded warriors, coming home can be a battle in itself. The USO provides ways for all of us to support our wounded warriors. Join us. Visit USO.org to learn how you can make a difference in their lives.
Imagine being a U.S. combat soldier or Marine facing the enemy, doing your job fighting the enemy, and then being falsely accused of committing a war crime by our government. This sounds crazy, but during the last 10 years, this has happened too many times. United American Patriots supports these wrongfully jailed American heroes by providing civilian attorneys at no cost to the accused or his family. Check unitedpatriots.org.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel with your home defense tip of the week. In the wake of the recent school mass shootings, what should you tell your children? First and foremost is to give them permission to fight back. If they cower beneath a desk and wait their turn for execution, you'll never see them again. Teach your children to live with a warrior mindset and always fight to save their lives. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit homedefenseshow.com.
Are you enjoying this latest stock market roller coaster ride? You've worked too long and too hard to let market volatility and a tired old spend down strategy rob you of your retirement savings. David J. Scranton, founder of Sound Income Strategies, has dedicated his entire career to educating baby boomers how to avoid becoming prey to market volatility and the retirement spend down trap. To teach you how to get off the roller coaster and transform a potential retirement spend down into retirement income, David's now offering free copies of his latest book, Return on Principle, 7 Core Values to Help Protect Your Money in Good Times and Bad, to the first 1,000 boomers to respond to this message.
To receive David Scranton's best-selling book, Return on Principle, call 866-913-1234, 866-913-1234. That's 866-913-1234.
Investment advisory services offered through Sound Income Strategies, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisory firm.
Join us for a fun-filled evening at the Hunterdon County Crime Stoppers annual fundraiser, Thursday, November 16th, 6:30 to 9:30 p.m. at Lone Eagle Brewing, 44 Stangle Road, Flemington. Craft beer tasting, great food, door prizes, live music, and a 50-50 raffle. Tickets are $50 each, and sponsorship advertising opportunities are available. Please visit www.crimestoppershunterdon.com or call 908-437-0126. We'll have a barrel of fun.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. It's 20 minutes after the hour, and you are in formation and listening to Frontlines of Freedom all across America. A Frontlines of Freedom salute to one of our show's great sponsors, Honor and Remember. Our nation must never forget those who paid the ultimate sacrifice for our freedoms. This is the mission of Honor and Remember, a nonprofit based in Virginia, with support from their national sponsor, Spartan Nash, the leading distributor to U.S. commissaries and fifth largest food distributor. Learn more about how you continue the mission at honorandremember.org. Now it's time for comments by the Colonel. At one time, Turkey was a strong ally of our nation. It was an Islamic nation with a secular, a totally non-religious government, and a strong member of NATO. As I pointed out on the show, over the past years, their current president has changed the nation into an Islamist nation while maintaining the facade of full freedom. There isn't much that Turkey's president can do these days to further debase his reputation in the West. Recep Tayyip Erdogan has crushed peaceful protests at home and abroad, closed newspapers, threatened American soldiers, and even collectively scapegoated Kurds, but recently he managed to go even lower. At a rally at Karam al-Maras, the Turkish leader brought a trembling 6-year-old girl on stage, dressed in military garb and told her she would be honored if she died as a martyr. He sounded like a terrorist. We do expect this kind of child abuse from the fanatics in Hamas or Hezbollah. Erdogan, though, is the leader of an important NATO ally. Turkey is beginning to resemble Pakistan, a perpetually failing state whose military leadership has tolerated and advanced a vision of political Islam deeply hostile to the U.S. and Western interests. Do note that at one time Pakistan was a real ally of the U.S. Indeed, we had army advisors there helping them develop their military. Okay, Turkey's not quite that bad yet. Indeed, a majority of Turks want eventually to join the European Union. The Turkish economy is stronger than Pakistan's, and its banks are more trusted. And, unlike Pakistan, the driving force to further Islamicize society comes from Erdogan, an elected leader, not the military. The Turkish military has, until some of Erdogan's recent reforms, historically been the force that undermined the elected leadership through coups to preserve the secular tradition of modern Turkey's founder, Kemal Atatürk. That said, Erdogan is following the Pakistani model in disturbing ways, according to Hassan Haqqani, a former Pakistani ambassador to Washington. Haqqani, a former journalist, is in a unique position to evaluate this trend because he's written on how the Pakistani military embraced Islamic fundamentalism. Quote, Erdogan has taken the Pakistani formula of mixing hardline nationalism with religiosity, said Haqqani. Zia imposed Islamic laws by decree, amending the constitution, marginalized secular scholars and leaders, and created institutions for Islamization that have outlasted him. Erdogan is trying to do the same thing in Turkey, end quote. The earliest parallel with Pakistan is Turkey's current approach to the war in Syria. In January, Erdogan launched a new offensive against America's Kurdish allies. Even though the Turks have worked against the regime in Damascus, during the first weeks of that offensive, they actually coordinated with their erstwhile adversaries in Syria. This is a less toxic version of Pakistan's broader approach to the U.S.-led war in Afghanistan. There, the Pakistani military and intelligence services have tolerated and at times encouraged a group known as Haqqani Network to become a lifeline for the Afghan Taliban and other terrorists attacking U.S. forces and the elected government in Kabul. At the same time, the Pakistanis have been important allies for the U.S. dating back to the Islamic insurgency against the Soviets in Afghanistan and more recently against the elements of Al-Qaeda since 2001. Of course, when we finally tracked down Osama bin Laden and found him living in the same town as Pakistan's prestigious military academy, oops. Again, Turkey had not yet sunk to this level, but it's heading down this path. In the first years of the Syrian civil war after 2011, Turkey's border with that country was a sieve for ISIS recruits joining the short-lived caliphate in Raqqa. To this day, Turkey resembles a friendly outpost for Hamas, a terror group that has run Gaza since 2007. According to former U.S. Ambassador to Turkey Eric Edelman, quote, Turkey is not Pakistan yet, but if it continues on the trajectory that Erdogan has put it on, there is a prospect that it could become like Pakistan. This is the deep challenge today for Washington. So far, however, we have not yet shown in Accra the tough love necessary to stop Turkey's slide. The latest high-level visit, for example, from Secretary of State Rex Tillerson last month, sought to paper over Turkey's campaign in Syria and Erdogan's recent threat to deliver an Ottoman slap to the U.S. This kind of short-term thinking is understandable, but it doesn't address the slow-motion disaster happening now in Turkey. We must draw some boundaries for Erdogan and convey to him that he cannot maintain the current relationship he has with us if he crosses them. And you know, a good starting point would be to demand that he stop threatening our soldiers. In the meantime, note that Turkey and Pakistan are getting closer. At a recent meeting of the Financial Action Task Force, the international body to counter money laundering, it was Turkey that helped counter a U.S. move to place Pakistani banks on a watch list for financing terror. Given the direction Turkey's headed, it looks like they are hoping Pakistan may one day return the favor. And those are my comments for today. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. You're listening to Frontlines of Freedom. Now we get to enjoy some warrant wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. What you have this week, Roland?
In the skies above New Mexico, a drone aircraft is flying a patrol until it suddenly pivots out of control and plummets to the ground. Then a mortar round raises from its launcher, arcs high, and begins its descent towards its target, only to flare and explode in mid-flight. In New Mexico, on the desert floor, on top of a big sand-colored truck, a cubic mechanism pivots and fires an invisible infrared beam to zap one target after another. This high-energy laser mobile demonstrator is a prototype laser weapon developed for the U.S. Army by aerospace giant Boeing. Inside the truck, the engineer stares at the targets on a laptop screen and directs the laser using a handheld game controller, which, of course, only seems natural. I mean, laser weapons have been a staple of modern video games for years, and the ray guns of various sorts were common in science fiction for decades before the first real-life laser was demonstrated in 1960. But they're not just fantasy anymore. The Boeing prototype is just one of several such weapons being developed in recent years, both in the United States and Europe, largely thanks to the advent of relatively cheap, portable, and robust lasers that generate their beams using optical fibers. You know, laser weapons have long fascinated weapons developers, most notably during the 1980s and 1990s, during the heyday of the Strategic Defense Initiative, which was nicknamed Star Wars. U.S. spending on laser weapons research peaked in 1989, when the government spent the equivalent of $2.4 billion in today's money. Although funding has continued at lower levels ever since, the original goal of being able to shoot down an incoming ballistic missile has still proven unattainable. The trick with any laser weapon is to focus its energy into a spot that is small enough to heat up and damage the target, and to do that with a machine that is compact and portable enough for the battlefield. Attention started shifting to fiber lasers as a way to deliver results more economically. Fiber lasers use thin optical fibers that can collect their optical energy from brighter versions of the cheap laser diodes that are used in DVD players, and then amplify the light to a higher power. These advantages first attracted attention during the 1990s when fiber lasers began to be used to beef up optical signals carrying internet data through undersea cables. Boeing's laser weapon that was used in New Mexico, it also uses a chemical 10-kilowatt fiber laser. And its system draws its power from the vehicle's engine. It takes less than 2 cups of fuel to fire the laser for long enough to disable many targets. This makes it much cheaper to use for defense than conventional missiles. An inexpensive missile, for example, is $100,000, and that is for one shot. To shoot a laser weapon system once is less than $10. You know, today's lasers are still a long ways away from their science fiction counterparts. People talk about the speed of light engagement, but it still takes time to demolish targets. At the most basic level, if you can't see it, if there's too much rain or fog, your laser can't hit it. So the greatest value of the current generation of laser systems may be more about working out how to handle such broader challenges before better lasers are deployed to the battlefield. For Frontlines of Freedom, I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Back to you, Colonel.
Straight ahead on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll talk to retired Marine General Arnold Pinero about the Pentagon's new strategy. You're going to love this. Then we're going to talk with a troop who's running for Congress. All this is coming up. I am Colonel Denny Gillum. You are standing tall with the Frontlines of Freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, we're doing pull-ups. Let's do 25, then stand at ease.
Spartan Ash holds a special place in its heart for Honor and Remember. As a national partner with Honor and Remember, Spartan Ash is deeply committed to never forgetting those who paid the ultimate price in service to our country.
The Honor and Remember flag serves as a symbol of remembrance, and Spartan Ash flies the Honor and Remember flag at all facilities. The flag artwork is on our fleet of tractor trailers, which travel nearly 67 million miles each year.
Learn more at SpartanAsh.com and HonorandRemember.org.
Can you remember the last time you had a great night's sleep? How you felt the next morning? More energized, more alive. Feel the difference of deeper sleep daily with the new Tomorrow mattress. Designed by the world's leading sleep experts at Serta Simmons Bedding and delivered right to your door. Use promo code HAPPY for up to $250 in savings when purchasing a mattress, foundation, and sleep protector. That's tomorrowsleep.com promo code HAPPY.
USA Radio News.
We're having very good discussions. Kim Jong-un was, he really has been very open and I think very honorable from everything we're seeing.
President Donald Trump earlier today from the White House. Now the president did also warn Iran against restarting their nuclear program by saying, quote, they'll have bigger problems than they've ever had before. A 25-year-old who plowed a van into a crowded Toronto sidewalk was ordered today to be held on 10 counts of murder and 13 of attempted murder as Canadian authorities and the public sought to make sense of why this guy would do what would be the most deadly mass murder in Canada's modern history. To combat popular use of a popular e-cigarette, the FDA has said it issued warnings to 40 retail and online stores as part of a nationwide operation against the illegal sales of the cigarette. This is USA Radio News.
Attention! Sorry, I'm talking a little loud because I want to reach people with a hearing problem.
Do you want to hear better for just $299? Yes, not thousands, but for $299. You can hear all the sounds you've been missing for years. Hearing Help Express has been helping people hear better, selling top-quality hearing aids for over 30 years. Now is your best chance to hear better with hearing aids for $299 with our free 45-day home trial offer. And you don't even need to leave your home or get a hearing test. Call now to start your free 45-day risk-free home trial offer. All it takes is a free hearing consultation. Learn how Hearing Help Express can improve the quality of your life with better hearing. Call now.
800-516-7448. 800-516-7448. 800-516-7448. That's 800-516-7448.
Troops, welcome back to the nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Troops, please do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. It's a pleasure now to welcome back to the show a man who has done and is still doing great things for our nation. Arnold Panaro is a retired Marine General Officer. He served on congressional staffs and is still consulting with our government. Welcome back to the show, Arnold.
Great to be here, Danny.
Arnold, both of us, as young lieutenants, commanded platoons in combat in Vietnam, that's part of our bond. Give us a quick review of the rest of your military career.
Well, from my Vietnam effort as an infantry platoon commander, a grunt like you, I served on the staff of the Marine Corps Basic School where we train all our young lieutenants for combat, and I was privileged to serve with two Medal of Honor recipients, Wes Fox and Barney Barnum. And another one on the staff with me was a Marine of great note, Oliver North. And then I had never intended when I joined in 68 to make a career of the military, so I went back to graduate school, and then I ended up working in the Senate, but I stayed in the reserves and had the privilege of becoming a general officer and commanding the largest ground division in the Marine Corps, the 4th Marine Division. And so I served for over 35 years in uniform, in addition to my service in the U.S. Senate for 24 years.
Talk about that service in the Senate.
In the Senate, I was privileged to go to work for a great senator from Georgia, Sam Nunn, who ultimately became the chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee, a very conservative Southern senator, and he was very concerned about rebuilding the military after the Vietnam War and you know, going against some executive branch leadership that would have weakened our military. And so over the course of many years, I think we were able to begin to rebuild our military, just like the current commander-in-chief is doing with today's military.
Well, I think that sums it. Boy, does our military need it today, not that it didn't before. Okay, you've seen the military from the grunt side and from the congressional funding side. You've recently been involved in discussions about our nation's new military strategy. What is the Pentagon looking at? Where are we going? Is this another political discussion, or are we going somewhere?
Danny, I think what's different in the national defense strategy that Secretary Mattis, our Secretary of Defense, a terrific combat veteran himself, has developed in concert with the commander-in-chief who put out what's called the National Security Strategy. It's a seminal document. It's the first time in 40 years that I've seen one of these strategy documents that is prescriptive. And what you and I know from the military, what we call commander's intent, meaning here's what you need to do, here's how you need to do it. It links the threats and the chaos we face in the world with a strategy for how we're going to deal with those threats and chaos. And it here are the priorities that we've got to have in our Department of Defense, and subsequently argue to the Congress, who provide the funding and the resources, and how we're going to accomplish this. And what we call it in strategy terms is linking the ends, the ways, and the means. And if the ends and the ways and the means are not linked, then you end up with a military that's not capable of dealing with the threats we face in the modern world. And so this is a seminal document. Secretary Mattis and his team, as well as the White House team, get tremendous credit for putting on a piece of paper what everybody has been whispering around in the halls of Washington for over 10 years. This is the first strategy we've had in over a decade. And it's not only the first one, it's a superb one.
You know, back in my days of being a Mideast war planner and working at that level, that shocks me. That may be the best one in my lifetime, at least in my time wearing a uniform. That's phenomenal. And it's also a major blessing for our nation and our military, don't you think?
Not only that, for industry, which basically we have the world's finest military, and we worry about maintaining the world's finest military. And as Secretary Mattis has said, it's not a God-given right. We have to work at it every day. And we have the world's finest military because of the quality of the individual soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marine, and Coast Guardmen that we recruit and retain. They're constant and realistic training. But guess what? The number one discriminator is we never want our military to be in a fair fight. And that's the technology that comes from our great industrial base. And our industry needs to understand, what are the priorities of the national military strategy? What are the technologies that we ought to be working on? Let's face it. We've had the head of research in the Department of Defense, Dr. Mike Griffin, say the Chinese are ahead of us in terms of what we call hypersonic missiles. These are missiles that move way faster than the speed of sound, and they could get to our, you know, carrier battle groups in the South Pacific, and we wouldn't be able to, one, detect them, or two, defeat them. We've got to have technologies where we can keep up with these new peer competitors in China and Russia. And so our industry needs to understand this is a priority. Before the Mattis put out his strategy, they didn't know what the priorities were. It was, we need everything. And when you basically have something that is as broad as universal salvation, you have no priority. So I think that's another, it tells industry what we ought to be working on. And industry is the engine of innovation and provides our military to ensure our troops never go into a fair fight. But look, the Chinese have caught up in many areas. In fact, in some areas, they're ahead of us, and that's not a good situation because Russia was a military power, but they were never a political or economic power in the peak of the Cold War. And mutual assured destruction with nuclear weapons on both sides kept them really from doing anything. The Chinese are a military power, they're an economic power, and they're a political power. And they are run like a totalitarian communist state.
Which is what they are, of course.
Which is what they are. And so there's no debate and no discussion, and they put their resources where they want to put it to basically win economically, politically, and militarily. And if hundreds of thousands of Chinese starve, they don't care. We're not like that in the United States of America.
And we sure don't want to be there. This is Colonel Denny Gilliam on Frontlines of Freedom. We're discussing the new military strategy with retired General Arnold Panaro. So China is, they really don't, well, absolute dictatorships don't care about the people. Why are we surprised? And they're acting like it. And the challenge is now we got to do something, and we acknowledge it. Arnold, one of my major concerns is I don't know for the past 10 or 12 years that we've had a goal. Why are we overseas? What's our mission? How do we know when it's over? That's all part of this, isn't it?
It is part of it, Denny. And the other thing is that the battlefield of the future may not be the traditional battlefield. The Chinese are not going to want to take on the United States of America where we're strong, and they're not going to want to go up against our individual soldier, sailor, airman, or marine. You know, we didn't succeed from a strategy standpoint in Vietnam, but I'll tell you, my platoon, we were guarding the Ho Chi Minh Trail and trying to keep the Chinese from bringing resupply back down into the Quezon Valley. And, you know, we went up against the Chinese quite often, and we did pretty well against the Chinese. And so they understand that. They're going to go after us with cyber. They're going to go after us in space. They're going to go after areas where they think we're weak. And frankly, when it comes to cyber, that's an area where we recognize we don't have a coherent national policy or strategy. And, you know, we've had a lot of successful cyber attacks that have been state-sponsored, not just by the Chinese, but by the Russians and other adversaries. And we haven't provided a response. And so they see that they're getting away from it. So we've got to be mindful that the battlefields of the future, as Secretary Mattis has said, it's land, sea, air, space, and cyberspace and undersea. And we've got to be able to prevail in every one of those battle domains.
And we sure won't do it if we won't name them, talk about them, and go into them. Just the fact that we're naming them doesn't mean we're going to have success. But it guarantees that we will not if we won't talk about it, name it, and commit resources. Is that a fair summary?
That's absolutely correct. And the other thing that Secretary Mattis does in this new national defense strategy, and General Dunford will be the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, will be following up with his military version that supports that national military strategy, is Secretary Mattis says we can't do everything. So here are some areas that are lower priority, and we'll get less resources. And so this is the first time anybody's had the courage to kind of, I won't call it pick winners and losers, but to really put out priorities. And again, in commander's intent, you want to tell your unit, hey, here's what you've got to be ready to do. And guess what? You know, you may get called on to march in a parade, but we're not going to spend a lot of time and resources figuring out how to march in a parade. We're going to spend our time and resources figuring out how to be more lethal and how to take on the enemy that this nation may send us to fight.
That makes so much sense. Family budgets have to work that way. Everybody has to work that way. And when we're talking about the security of our nation, we absolutely have to work that way. I'm so glad to hear that. Well, there's more to discuss about our new military strategy, and General Panaro is going to stay with us. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Front Lines of Freedom. Troops, it's push-up time. I want you to do 103 push-ups. That's how many I do every morning. Then take a break and stay in the area. We'll be right back. We'll soon be providing information on how you can attend the Sky Ball. I went to it last year, and it was amazing, absolutely amazing. I'll soon be sharing about it and how its goal is to help our military and veterans and their families. This is an activity of the Air Power Foundation, an amazing group of patriots who just want to take care of our military community. We'll be sharing more about this over the next month. You're going to love this.
Confused by all the talk about a good night's sleep? There's a lot of new mattress companies, but they're all missing something. They're missing expertise. Introducing Tomorrow, the new mattress and sleep system from Serta Simmons Bedding. Tomorrow is great sleep, delivered right to your door. Use promo code HAPPY for up to $250 in savings when purchasing a mattress, foundation, and sleep protector. That's tomorrowsleep.com, promo code HAPPY.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
This is Colonel Denny Gillen. This is the final formation for this hour on Frontlines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with General Arnold Panero about the conflict within setting goals and standards for our military strategy, something that I don't think has ever been done before and is now being done. This is really incredible. Arnold, a part of this is obviously got to be money because, among other things, we have a national debt that's twice as big as it was 10 years ago. How does this impact?
Well, Denny, it's kind of a Jekyll and Hyde situation because to the great credit of Secretary Mattis and to the great credit of Congress, on a bipartisan basis, the only bipartisan thing that's going on in Washington, D.C., was the recognition that we needed to increase the military budget. So in fiscal 17 and 18, and now there's agreement for the fiscal year that's coming up starting this coming 1 October 2018, there's a nice, healthy jump in the Defense Department budget and budgets related to national security, and it was supported hugely on a bipartisan basis. Just about every Republican and every Democrat in the House and Senate voted in favor of it. Now, however, we haven't tackled our deficit because the tax cut, which as a businessman I applaud and I think was long overdue, is added to the deficit. Discretionary spending, which has never been driving the deficit, it's mainly the entitlement programs, which have not changed, and the Congress and the executive branch don't seem willing to tackle those. So we've added to our debt burden, and this is something that we've got to get more realistic about and deal with because you can't have a strong defense on a rotten economy. And if we don't deal with this deficit, which is growing, it's going to consume ever-increasing percentage of the federal budget and an every percentage of our gross domestic product, and it's going to undermine our economy over the long term. But in candor, we were in such a deep ditch when it came to our military capabilities. We needed to do this, even if it increased the deficit in the short term.
You know, that makes a great deal of sense to me. Our military was as small and worn out a year, 2 years ago as I've seen it in my lifetime, and you don't fix that with goodwill. It takes bucks, and worn out particularly, and that's not counting research and development. So is adding to the debt.
In fact, we've got extremely healthy procurement and research budgets, which is the future readiness. The training and the operation and maintenance, it takes care of our current readiness. And look, we continue to have a spate of aircraft accidents in peacetime, and this is all because of the sequester and the fact that we've been running the troops ragged for, you know, 15 years. And that's got to change. And by the way, the world has gotten more dangerous. There's no two ways about it. All you've got to do is look at North Korea. You look at Syria. You look at what China's doing. You look at what Russia wants to do. And we live in a very dangerous and chaotic world. And you hope it's not a strategy. And there's no pixie dust or magic wand that's going to change the behavior of these ruthless nations like North Korea and Syria and Iran and China and Russia. They respect power. They respect military power. And we've got to maintain a powerful military to protect the freedoms that are so cherished by us that served in the military, but also for our kids and grandkids. I've got seven grandkids. The oldest is seven. The youngest is about a year old. And I worry about, you know, making sure that they're going to have the same opportunities and the same freedoms that you and I grew up on and our kids grew up on. We want that for generations to come. And without a powerful military, that's not going to happen.
That's absolutely true, because there's so many people that want to take from us, do to us. We have to be prepared to protect ourselves. Indeed, one of my favorite sayings is, the only purpose of the military is to have people that know how to kill people and break things and do it well. And if we're good enough at it, nobody will want to mess with us. That's how we stay safe.
That's how we stay safe, Tinny. And it's also important to realize that we've got to be able to do that, break things in the cyber world, in the space world, in the undersea world. It's not just the old battlefield that you and I knew as grunts, you know, with the rifle and the bayonet. Cyber can basically bring this country to its knees financially, economically. You know, let's say you put some kind of screwed up thing in the FAA, the air traffic control system. You could cause chaos there. You could cause chaos in the banking world. I mean, the number of transactions that happen electronically in this country, our economy, and people argue about this. I mean, look at what's happening with Amazon. Look at what's happening with brick and mortar stores. Our whole economy has gone digital. And so if you had somebody that had the cyber capability, they could bring our economy to its knees. So we've got to be able as a country to be both defensive and offensive in both the cyber world. Everything we do in the modern world is tied to space. Our cell phones, our global positioning systems, the way that we navigate in our personal lives, either holding our cell phone and figuring out how to get from one block to the other, or in an automobile using some application, all that's tied to space. And our enemies know that, and they are tripling and quadrupling their capability to take out our space-based assets. So we've got to be prepared there as well.
We sure do. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're discussing military readiness with General Arnold Pinaro. And Arnold, that realization that it is broader, deeper, and we have to be ready in the old ways as well as the new ways, and there's probably new ones out there that are still coming that we need to be looking for. You know, one of my concerns back when I was on active duty was that we were at that time the world's policeman. I don't think we can be that anymore if we're not, for a number of reasons. Not that there are so many different areas we've got to be on top of, but we don't want to leave a void out there where bad guys can do bad things. Is that part of the strategy at all?
It is. I think, again, though, Secretary Mattis would tell you that we can't be the policeman of the world. We can't be every place all at one time, and we shouldn't be. But we've got to know where we need to be and where we don't need to be, and we've got to be able to deal with these new and emerging threats. The good news is not only Secretary Mattis, but he's assembled one of the most impressive leadership teams in the Pentagon I've seen, and he's got people on the technology side that have great insights into these innovative ways that you and I haven't thought about, and they're thinking about and thinking about really hard and want to make sure that we stay ahead and stay the world leader in innovation. And so I'm very comfortable that we have people at the top of the pyramid in the national security area and in the intelligence area that are paying attention to all these areas and making good decisions that only people at those levels can make.
That's incredibly important, and that's incredibly encouraging to know that this is probably not the first time in our nation's history, but it's the first time that I've been aware of it. We're deciding where we want to go and how to get there and how to pay for it and what the priorities are going to be. And we're recognizing what we know and what we don't know and where we have to go. I mean, that's almost a dream strategy, isn't it?
Yes. And I mean, for example, Dr. Michael Griffin, who's the head of technology for the Pentagon, they call him the Undersecretary for Research and Engineering. He ran NASA. He ran EQTEL. He has 10 advanced degrees. This is a man that knows technology, and he's a no BS, no nonsense person. He doesn't believe in meeting things to death. He doesn't believe in long papers. He wants to get stuff done, and he understands technology, and he understands you've got to prioritize, and he understands, you know, he leads DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Products Agency, which has done a lot of innovation. He understands technology and what we need to do, and that's the kind of person that we have rarely had in government. So Mattis has brought in some real barn burners to the Pentagon. The number two guy in the Pentagon, Pat Shanahan, is leading the reform because we need to get more bang for the buck, Denny, not just for the taxpayers, but for the warfighters. We're spending huge sums of money on defense, and yet our military is 50% smaller and less capable and less ready in some cases. So we need to get more bang for the buck, and he's got Pat Shanahan as the deputy leading the charge on making sure we squeeze every ounce of capability out of the dollars we get from the taxpayers.
That is wildly encouraging. Arnold, we got about a minute left. Wrap up some key points. What key things do we want our listeners to take from our talk today?
I would say that the new strategy basically is realistic and it's long overdue. It basically admits that we are in a knockdown, drag out, decade-long conflict with great powers like China and Russia and secondary powers like Iran and North Korea. And we've got to also worry about terrorism. And the strategy prioritizes how we're going to deal with those threats, how we're going to basically apply our resources, how we're going to ensure we keep our technological lead. So that's what's so powerful about it.
Arnold, that's awesome. Thank you for taking time to join us today. And thank you for your service to our nation, past, present, and future. I'm delighted that we're friends and working together.
Always a privilege.
This concludes the first hour of the show. We'll start the second hour talking with Army vet Alex Gallegos. He'll share his story and why he's running for Congress. Then Roger Hill will share the story of his soldiers being abandoned by their chain of command, and we'll talk about his book, Dog Company. Then Leona Sublett will share about the upcoming Military Entrepreneur Women's Symposium. Of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our Armed America Report. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's spring. Go outside and run some wind sprints. Then grab some protein and rehydrate with water. And finally, put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.
Sliding around in sock feet is a pretty common activity in a Fisher house. You see, every year, thousands of kids stay here to be close to a wounded mommy or daddy receiving care at a military or VA medical center. It's a place where they can feel at home when they're not, and where kisses and hugs are only minutes away instead of time zones, which, for a kid with a